silly little way and his incredible successes. So it was surprising that the abbot liked him, because never had there been an inhabitant of the valley so unlike the sweeper, so learned, so impractical and so frail. But then, surprise is the nature of the universe. Lutse nodded to the minor acolytes who opened the big varnished doors.
"How is his reverence today?" he said.
The teeth are still giving him trouble, O Lutse, but he is maintaining continuity and has just taken his first steps in a very satisfactory manner.
Yes, I thought I heard the gongs.
The group of monks, clustered in the centre of the room, stepped aside as Lutse approached the playpen. It was unfortunately necessary. The abbot had never mastered the art of circular ageing. He had, therefore, been forced to achieve longevity in a more traditional way, via serial reincarnation.
"Ah, sweeper," he burbled,
awkwardly tossing aside a yellow ball and brightening up.
"And how are the mountains? Wanna biki, wanna biki?"
"I'm definitely getting volcanism, Reverend One. It's very encouraging."
"And you are in persistent good health?" said the abbot, while his pudgy little hand banged a wooden giraffe against the bars.
"Yes, Your Reverence, it's good to see you up and about again."
"Only for a few steps so far, alas. Bikit, bikit, wanna bikit? Unfortunately, young bodies have a mind of their own. Bikit!"
"You sent me a message, Your Reverence. It said, put this one to the test."
"And what did you think of our...
want bikit, want bikit, want bikit now?"
"Young Lobsang Lud."
An acolyte hurried forward with a plate of rusks.
"Would you care for a rusk, by the way?" the abbot added. "Nicey, bikit."
"No, Reverend One, I have all the teeth I need," said the sweeper.
"Lud is a puzzle, is he not? His tutors have nicey, bikit. Bikit told me he is very talented, but somehow not all there. But you have never met him, and don't know his history, and so, bikit. And so I would value your uninfluenced observations, bikit."
"He is beyond fast," said Lutse. "I think he may begin to react to things before they happen."
"How can anyone tell that? Want Teddy, want Teddy, want one a Teddy."
"I put him in front of the device of erratic balls in the senior dojo, and he was moving towards the right hole fractionally before the ball came out."
"Some kind of telepathy, then?"
"If a simple machine has a mind of its own, I think we're in really big trouble," said Lutse.
He took a deep breath.
"And in the Hall of the Mandala, he saw the patterns in the chaos."
"You'll let a neophyte see the mandala?" said Chief Acolyte Rinpo, horrified.
"If you want to see if someone can swim, push him in the river," said Lutse, shrugging. "What other way is there?"
"But to look at it without the proper training."
"He saw the patterns," said Lutse, "and reacted to the mandala."
He did not add, "and the mandala reacted to him." He wanted to think about that. When you look into the abyss, it's not supposed to wave back.
"It was teddy, 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 wah! Strictly forbidden even so," said the abbot.
Clumsily, he fumbled amongst the toys on his mat and picked up a large wooden brick with a jolly blue elephant printed on it and hurled it clumsily at Rinpo.
"Sometimes you presume too much, sweeper. Look at elephant."
There was some applause from the acolytes at the abbot's prowess in animal recognition.
"He saw the patterns. He knows what is happening. He just doesn't know what he knows," said Lutse doggedly. "And within a few seconds of meeting me, he stole a small object of value, and I'm still wondering how he did it. Can he really be as fast as that without training? Who is this boy?"
End of CD 2.